Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're on the podcast with me and Tim. Not live. That album that you told me about the other night, was that Drinking from the Sun by the Hilltop Hoods?
Yeah, so.
You said it, and I quote, Sundown? Question mark? Is what you thought it might be called.
Oh, God. Okay, cool, yeah. Talking about Hilltop Hoods.
Yeah, I asked you what was the album that you like to put on and that you would listen to from start to finish. You just have on all day. What is the favourite album that you love to listen to?
It's more like a playlist. It's called This Is Hilltop Hoods on Spotify.
Okay.
And do you want my favourite songs from that?
Okay. Other than the playlist, do you have, because I'm trying to get away from playlists and actually into albums that people love from the start to finish. So is there an album that you love to listen to from song one to song whatever it is at the end, and you can just put it on, listen to the whole thing?
Yeah, the Homecoming album from Beyonce.
There you go. Tim, we're doing the Homecoming album from Beyonce.
Yep, the live album, the live version.
The live album. Okay, cool. Yep. All right, that'll be in a fortnight. Thanks, Adele.
That's all right. My pleasure. Yeah.
Alright,
bye.
Coachella, you ready? Let's go get on. Yes. This week has been Beyonce's 2019 release, Homecoming. Hey, you didn't see that one coming, did you, Tim?
Certainly not. No, it's definitely not an album or a live experience that I thought we'd be tackling, but I'm glad that we did.
Okay, good. Elaborate. You're glad that we did.
I'm glad we did. It was a documentation of a very specific and special sort of event that took place in amongst all this other music and coming together of people and everything that Coachella sort of represents. It's a very poignant and powerful thing for Beyonce, and it was great to listen to it, and it's great to see what she went through to get there.
Yeah, okay. For anybody who doesn't know, I won't go and explain who Beyonce is. If you don't know who Beyonce is, we cannot help you. This is not the podcast
You've
for
got
you.
Bigger problems.
Just keep listening. You'll get there eventually. The Homecoming album in particular was Beyonce's 2018 Coachella performance that had delayed because she got pregnant. She was supposed to do it in 2017. Lady Gaga filled in for her. She put together this show in 2018 for Coachella, which is one of the world's biggest music festivals, and it was nothing short of phenomenal. Nobody really saw what she did coming, and it was widely lauded as an amazing performance. Yeah, and then it was all filmed. Netflix paid $20 million for the rights. You can watch it on Netflix now. And in 2019, she dropped this album out of the blue. It was a surprise drop. I think she did that with Lemonade as well. She does that quite often. So, yeah. Sorry, have I stolen your thunder? Have you got more to add?
No, not at all, man. Not at all. No, you keep going. But, it was. It was an amazing culmination of efforts, and it was obviously captured with the intent to be a live Netflix feature as well, you know. There was always going to be the concept of video release as well as the documentary that sort of intertwined itself with it, and all of the things that she went through to build up to Coachella, and the immense amount of work, discipline and organization and just everything that went into this production, the two performances on both weekends of the Coachella Festival, and just to witness it as well, to see the spectacle of the live performance was just absolutely gobsmacking. You know, there was so much going on. It was a whole nother level. And I think she had a statement to say when she did this performance. You know, she was leaning towards her heritage and her history and her people's heritage and history. And it's an absolute culmination, not just being the first black female to ever headline Coachella, but also an outpouring of pride and respect and love for her culture and her people and the vibrancy and the ethnicity, just the sheer wonder of what these young human beings can do when they put themselves to it. And it just wound up being an absolutely amazing sort of spectacle of a album and a movie.
It was a performance first and a movie second, and then an album third. If you want to know where Beyonce was coming from with the performance. The track So Much Damn Swag, which is an interlude on the album, is a voiceover of her explaining how she wanted to represent, I'm guessing, what might have been a bit of a fantasy for her. Because so in America, there's these historical colleges that it goes back to the days of segregation, where they were majority black colleges. So all the students are black, and they still carry on these traditions. It's developed its own culture, its own cool, its own marching bands. And like, you know, if you went to another college, and it could be more prestigious, whatever. But when these students come out onto the football field, I can imagine just being so jealous. Just like, man, we're just not this cool.
And the amount of swag is just limitless. Like, the things that these young people can do with their bodies, and the music they can play, and the drum rolls, and the haircuts, and the bodies, and the, it's just not right. It's just so much damn swag.
With their drum line and their dancing and their majorettes, which is what Beyonce really tried to portray on stage. Now, she herself never went to college. She was in Destiny's Child from the age of 15. Beyonce is a pop singer, yes, but as an artist, with this performance, I think she got to create this spectacle. It's her and her team. Now, on the timeline of this, something like 14 months putting this together.
Yeah, absolutely insane amount of work went into this one.
And does that include having the twins? Like, so she was going to do, I think she'd sort of done so much work and then unexpectedly fell pregnant and had twins, and then had to have an emergency C-section. So not anything to do with the album, but the dancing and the singing that were required for the live performance. She had her stomach muscles cut for the emergency C-section, and she's talking about having to relearn how her body works and moves, getting back into rehearsals for this show.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal what she put herself through to do this, even just down to diet, to get herself post-baby weight and everything like that. Not that that matters. I mean, it would have been amazing either way.
No, but they already had costumes. Custom costumes made.
I know, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, because the production and everything for it already started before the 2017 Coachella. Yeah.
So I think the 14 months is, does the 14 months include like baby break? It must exclude baby break, so 14 months total working on that, I'm thinking.
Yeah, something like that.
Because the drumline guys, they were all hired from the best colleges.
Yeah.
Beyonce went to an agency that hires out the best musicians from colleges to do drumline. If you don't know what drumline is, Google it. It's essentially cooler marching band. Just picture marching band and the coolest marching band. That's what
absolutely.
That's what drumline is. So they did four months just running the show in choreography, and then 4 months rehearsal learning the music. So they did 8 months themselves.
Yeah.
And if you watch the documentary, she had three sound stages. So three aircraft hangars, essentially. One for the musicians to do their thing. One for the stage layout so they could just run the show. They ran that whole show over and over and over again and tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it. And then one for the dancers.
And so, I mean, we're talking about 200 people on stage, like just from performers, musicians and everything else, and then every single other person employed to make this whole show come together. We're talking about 400 people working day.
It had to have been hundreds of thousands, if not million plus, to put this on.
Yeah.
But it's okay because it's estimated she made between 8 and 12 million for the two performances.
That's not too bad.
That's just the performances, 20 million for Netflix, and then she sold the album and – hey, it hasn't hurt her reputation at all.
And got a Grammy as well, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What Grammy did she get?
She won Best Music Film at the 67 Grammy Awards for that one. Best Musical Documentary.
Look, I'm honestly flabbergasted that she didn't win more. So aside from the legacy, aside from all that stuff, it's the album, and we've been listening to the album.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, I must admit, like at first go, because I did do a dry run of this one, I hadn't seen the documentary. Oh, I'd seen snippets of it. I'd seen bits and pieces of it.
Oh, everybody in the world saw the Destiny's Child reunion bit, surely.
Yeah, for sure. So that was blasted everywhere. And I sort of had a bit of an idea what was going on, but like to see a whole concert unfold. And there wasn't a stage where anything was stagnant, you know, it just kept evolving and progressing. And for the massive drum line coming on and coming off, all that kind of stuff. To listen to it was a little difficult, I found. Like, to listen to it, it didn't really have, because it was a marching band production, you know, you're not having those big low-end, you know, subby kind of parts and you know, all that sort of full-on kind of dancey production that you'd normally get from a Beyoncé track. But what you did get was this music projecting off this stage, and it was a sound stage. There were sections of dance that were all percussive and like the, you know, like a stomp production where they're banging and hollering and clapping, and it's all mic'd up, and it's just absolutely amazing the spectacle you get from that. And visually stunning. To listen to the album by itself, you found yourself in your mind's eye going, there's stuff happening that's visual and, you know, it's all pause for effect. But like to listen to it, it becomes a little bit disjointed, if that makes any sense.
No.
I sort of found it a little bit like that.
Okay. Here's my take on that. And you do have to be a little bit generous because it's a live album. There's not a lot of cuts in this. So you get a live album and they'll do the tracks and they'll be just like one track and then they'll cut. You know, the 5 minutes they spent talking to the crowd and stuff in between, it's just the live tracks. This is sure. Beyoncé's essentially career up to that point, remixed like a DJ set, like she was DJing her own music, and then she went, I'm going to do a drumline mashup. The album just runs one track into another. Like it is the live performance from beginning to end, from what I can tell. And so if you get little lulls, that's just like, the DJ giving you time to go to the bathroom on the dance floor, you know, like it's the achievement of that is quite spectacular. The other achievement that I have to mention is how the hell do they get the quality? Okay, there are 9 strings, 29 in the drum line, 15 in the band, and 12 vocalists, 12 backup vocalists. All right, so yep. So that's hang on, quick math. That's a buttload of people to mic up and get their levels right. Then you've got Beyoncé singing and she's got to sound great. Then they wanted to make sure they could hear all the stomping and all the shouting from the heavily rhythmic dance moves and stuff that they had going on. And on top of that, the show's outdoors and she has a fan blowing in her face at every second because her hair's down to her butt, right? And it's just blowing in the breeze. So taking all that into consideration, how did they get that sound to sound that good? I've got no idea. I can only think the album came out a year after the shows had been completed. And yep. Looking at the audio engineer list for the album, there's like 10 of them. So
yeah, totally.
There might be a lot of, not trickery, but cleaning up going on.
Right. Great production. Lots of great production.
I mean, she essentially went, I want this to sound as good as it can on a phone, you know, whatever. Now, I will say, yeah. Back to your point, I will say, wow, what a difference a high fidelity system for this album. If you're listening on your phone, it sounds great. If you've seen the performance, you know exactly what's going on. It's great. But if you have something that has like a high fidelity system, whether it's top end headphones or if you're watching the live video, put it on a surround system, because I don't know if it's low end that's missing. I think it's like there's like a mid-low end that sort of gets lost a bit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting to. It's kind of quite a dry mix. Obviously, there's a couple of songs in there that do, the synths do start coming in and it really starts pounding out that bottom end and when the band all sort of kicks in. But when the marching band's all doing their thing, it has a visually stunning impact. But like, you know, sonically, you're not lacking. You know, and like you said, it was an amazing feat to actually capture those instruments doing what they did. But it was almost like two different sounding bands. But I don't think the intertwining of the two of them was lost. Like you've got this full marching band playing along and you've got these insane like sort of drum loops and low synthy bass lines going on and all of this other samples and stuff like that intertwining. And there was no point where you just went, oh, that sounded a bit funky.
There's not a drop note in this whole thing.
It's amazing.
A visual example of that is you realize that Homecoming, if you watch it on Netflix, is shot over 2 weekends because halfway through a song, They're doing some intricate dance move and all their costumes just change.
And she actually uses that a couple of points in the film to really great effect, almost like a lighting scene change.
Oh, it's so
good.
She
cuts it together and it's just like it builds and builds and then comes to this bit where this big drop comes in. All of a sudden, everyone goes from yellow to purple. It's just like, whoa. Oh, yeah. If that was live, that would have been great.
Yellow to, well, they didn't obviously do that live. So they had yellow. Everyone had yellow uniforms for one of the performances and everyone had pink uniforms for the second performance. You've got to understand that the precision, not you, Tim, you've seen it, but if you haven't heard this album, you do have to understand that the precision that went into this production was insane. Absolutely insane.
Absolutely.
And there's one moment actually in the Destiny's Child thing where their dialogue sounds a little bit stilted. My girl B's really killing it tonight. Oh, I love you. Bep, 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 blep, blep, blep. And I went, geez, that sounds a bit scripted.
Everybody give it up for the beautiful Kelly and the beautiful Michelle. We love you. My girl B is killing it tonight. I'm so happy y'all are here tonight.
My wife pointed out they're walking and they have 3 seconds before they have to sing the next line to get all their dialogue in. So, yeah, it might sound a little bit stilted, but, you know, those are the words that they said that they plan to use. And just as an overall thing, it's undeniably great. I actually was talking to somebody about this album in the last couple of weeks, and they'd listened to the album first. And, like, it came back to the movie or the book conundrum. She preferred the album without the video.
Cool.
Because she'd listened to the album first.
Yeah.
So if you got a chance to do it, if you haven't watched Homecoming, listen to the album first and see if that is a similar experience for you. Unfortunately, I'd watch the movie. And that was my job this week, was to watch the video. It was really, it's quite simple. She had a pyramid.
Yeah.
And she had a buttload of talented people.
Yep. And some very
and
nice
lots
lighting.
Of fans. Lots of fans.
Yeah. And lots of fans and a bit of smoke. But that's also where a lot of bands, you know, like a 4-piece band or something up on stage to make themselves look exciting. You know, they use exciting lights and all of that kind of stuff and things flashing around and strobing all over the place. And whilst there was a certain amount of that going on, a lot of the time there was just light shone on this 200 strong mass of performers just all individually going off their nuts, playing their parts in the song, just absolutely given 150%, fully choreographed, every single one of them. Like they did so much work to not only play the way they did, which was just absolutely exceptional, but to move in time with everything. The whole thing was choreographed. And, you know, the people became the scene changers, like I sort of saying before, you know, it wasn't a stone unturned. She wrote the music, she produced the film clip, she produced the music, she did all the choreograph, she did every single thing. There wasn't a light on stage or a sequin on a uniform that wasn't discussed and picked and thought about. And it's just such an amazing testament to the strength, character, and genius of this woman who is Beyoncé, you know. She's just unbelievable. And to pull it off the way it was pulled off was just, it was mind-blowing.
The group that ended up, you know, 200 strong performers, they ended up talking about this experience, and I think Beyoncé really fostered this sense of family in the rehearsals, because to get people through 8 months of rehearsals, sometimes a paycheck's not the be-all and end-all. You're not going to get the right attitude on stage. So, you know, it was down to hairdressers all doing hair and, like, tiny, like you said, tiny, tiny little things that people at the back of Coachella didn't care about. They couldn't even see it. It may have turned up on a video screen. It may not. Like, the attention to detail was for themselves.
Sure.
And it sounds like most of them bought into it. It certainly looks like it on stage. Look, we've ended up just talking and talking about about this, the thing as a whole. It's really hard to get away from when it is a live album.
Sure.
But listening to this again, and the quality was just astounding. You remember back in the 90s, those bootleg tapes and CDs came out, and it was like Pearl Jam live at a
unauthorized.
Unauthorized.
That's right. Yeah. Gold. I think I've still got a few lying around somewhere.
Yeah, and like 3 of them are good. The rest are garbage.
Yeah, totally terrible. Absolutely terrible.
None of them are even a patch on this. But that's what we're used to with live albums.
Mm.
So in that context, just the sound, the quality is incredible. Then there's the fact that, look, most of the songs on here are actual songs. She's put 40 songs into 2 hours. They're like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. They're like little remix snippets.
I love what she's done with it and the work she did with Derek Dixie, I think his name is, a music production, music director on this. It's what you said before. The whole concert is a remix of, like, you'd be lucky to get a verse and a chorus and maybe another verse out of each song, but they're so intertwined seamlessly, you know, that it's like you said, you'll get 10 songs in a passage of music and you sort of get to the end of them and go, holy God, what the hell just happened? You know, we just went through so many emotions and so many different pieces of music and so many expositions on stage, and it was masterfully cut. There wasn't a point in those 40 odd songs that got stitched together where you kind of went, oh, that didn't bloody work at all. Every transition, and it did transition, it went from like low down funky to you know, ethereal, quiet, amazing singing that she does. I can't recall the song, but where she hits that little operatic piece and just, you know, absolutely nails the part. Her stamina vocally through that concert was just absolutely astounding. Like, you could literally just have, and many points there were, was just a drum beat in the background and Beyonce just filling that whole concert with her voice. It was absolutely amazing.
There's like three breaks. There's three interludes that don't involve her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, like just 2.5 hours screaming. It's that level of stamina.
Running.
Yeah, and running. But, yeah, you know, Bruce can't dance. Like,
no.
Now, Beyonce knows her audience. The bits of songs you get are remix versions of the bits everybody loves and knows. There's songs on here I didn't know the name of. Somehow I knew them. Of course, I knew all the Destiny's Child stuff. We were just that age, you couldn't avoid it.
Big fanboy.
Ah, well, I got married about that time, and so I, you know, I ended up.
House was filled with Destiny's Child.
I was filled with that, and you know, Megadeth. So, but none of that felt dated either. When the Destiny's Child other two members, Kelly and Michelle, came out and did their bit, it was just enough for the people to lose their mind and not too long for anybody to go, okay, they're a little bit whatever now. It was a perfect amount of time. Choreographed and tight.
Yeah.
From the vocal performances down to where they walked and what they said in between bits and pieces. Nothing felt too long or too short. And just to the point that she knows her audience, she leaned into an old Vine meme. So surfboard. Drunk in love. Riding on that surfboard. In that song, the original song, I'm sure that line comes out once, but it's just repeated and repeated because it's the bit everybody sort of made fun of and loved and made a meme out of it because it sounds like she's saying surf bought, B-O-R-T. It's an old meme. Look it up. But she's so big. She's got pop culture things happen about her.
Absolutely. I mean, she can write her own rule book with anything, really. You know, she can tell you what the next thing is. But yeah.
But I think smarter than that, she responds to what the thing is as well. And it comes back also to the concept of the whole thing where she's sucking in this drumline thing. Now, they've used drumline before. Lose My Breath had a big drumline intro. Classic song. These are just influences from her life that she's just pulled in and put all into this one thing. The trick is making it cool enough for it to all pay off and people to love it, because it could have been a mess.
Absolutely. There's
done the wrong way. It could have been an absolute mess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it wasn't. And like you said, it was a strategic. A lot of it was exactly like there wouldn't be a line in there where there wasn't a shot out into the crowd where they were just weeping at the words that were coming out. And then the next scene was the next part of the next song that had the same effect. It was exactly what you said, like with regards to the Destiny Child reunion. There wasn't a point anywhere in any piece of music that was presented on that night where it dragged on too long or it went too far. It was an orchestrated event through and through from start to finish in the context of, as we've discussed on previous ones, how albums are created and developed to, they start here and they take you on a journey. Good ones do. They take you and they start you and they take you on a range of emotions and you go fast and you go slow and you go up and you go down. She did that seamlessly over the course of 40 songs.
Yeah.
And that's no mean feat.
Help having a team. I always wonder, because you can present anything you like in a film or a documentary. I always wonder how it actually reflects real life, and you wonder who's in control, whether it really is just one person's vision or more of a collaborative thing with a team. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle where, yep, what she said goes, but she probably has a whole bunch of trusted people that she listens to, and she says, come on, I need ideas, let's go. You couldn't possibly do that all on your own and have twins. Well, maybe she did, but you would only benefit from having a team around you like that. And this is it's just a huge thing. This whole production, this whole concept. And risky. I don't know how many people could have pulled it off. There's not really a cynical bone in Beyoncé's body. If she tried to do what she did with any tweeness or cynicism or anything other than honesty, a little bit of earnesty, and a sense of fun and even a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, then I don't think it would be received half as well as it was. I don't think the performers would have enjoyed it half as much as they did, clearly.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
There were things in this that were probably not for me. Not any of the Black Heritage stuff. Freaking loved all that. But I don't get American college culture at all. I've never been to college. I've never been to America. I've seen it all in the movies, but the pledges walking past, the bugaboos, I know what a bugaboo is.
Oh,
I've been
yeah.
a Destiny's Child fan. I know what college pledging and hazing and that Greek frat house culture is from what I've seen in movies. I don't think I really understand it, and I don't know if I would have joined one. If I had gone to college, that's just me. I just find it all a bit bizarre and weird, that whole hazing, pledging, spending a week in your underwear.
Yeah.
Acting weird. Yeah, I don't know. That was why just one bit for me that I thought was a bit strange. But then those guys could dance. That she segued that into them doing some great stuff.
Up, bugaboo, up, where hey, two. Also known as Shine It, Shine It, Shine It, Shine It, yeah.
Shine It, yeah.
I'm Bugaboo Sweet Dreams, also known as Low.
Yeah, and I guess in a way it does sort of tie back to, you know, her original, not mission statement, or part of the statement was a celebration of these HBCU universities and colleges and the culture and all it pertains. So yeah, not so just the glory of the performance and the art. So it's you can't leave stuff out.
That's it. You can't leave stuff out. Yep. Oh, no, I totally appreciate it. It's absolutely right. I really liked the bit with Solange.
Yep.
It was just like two sisters having a super fun gas. And for that.
Who were they?
Yeah. Pacing of this album, if you're going to listen to it just as an album, is pretty good. So we were talking about interludes before. There's maybe a flat bit and it doesn't last long. You know, I can't even think of it now. I was trying to, I sort of went, oh, that bit's a bit flat. And now I'm looking at all this stuff. I'm going, no, it was all great. Maybe sort of the track You Don't Love Me, No, No, No.
You don't love me.
then it goes into the countdown and into check on it, and you're straight into the drum line. And after the drum line, you get Run the World and Lose My Breath and Say My Name and Soldier, and you're back into Destiny's Child stuff, and she does Single Ladies. That was a weird vibe, though. Single Ladies.
Was a weird vibe, but I don't think you could have possibly have a Beyonce concert to that many white people and not play Single Ladies. No.
Try to get nice and stanky with me. Where I'm from, we do things nice.
You can't have a concert to that many people and not play Single Ladies. You can't do a Beyonce concert without Single Ladies. But stuff I really loved on this, oddly, because, again, not for me, I'm a man. Really love Diva. Just love the attitude of it. Love Flawless. Really love Formation. It's just the vibe. It's so cool. So much swag. So much self-confidence. There was one article where it might have been the guitarist, maybe one of the drummers, was saying that all the interlude-y bits and the spoken word bits are all essentially positive. There's no Debbie Downer stuff in there. There's no negativity. It might be talking about negative things in the world, but it's all about lifting up.
Absolutely.
You can't do 2 hours in front of a stage, in front of somebody doing a massive performance, sending you that message and not really feel it. If you didn't feel it by the end of song one, you certainly felt it sort of by the end of the album. It's a great one to have on your head. Like, turn it up loud, have huge speakers, pretend you're at the concert. It's a great one. Absolutely. It's a really good one to have on in your house or in your car. So,
yes,
the hard bit, because there's 40 songs on here. What's your favorite, Tim?
Oh, it's such a tough one because it's just the whole concert is a one. They almost aren't single songs.
They do run into each other. It's tricky. But we've got to play by the rules, Tim.
I don't have a favorite song.
Well, pick a moment then that makes you go, wow, that was cool.
I must admit, in it being a culmination of the whole concert, I did have a bit of a soft spot when the Three Sisters got back up on stage and sort of did that little power medley there for a while. The overwhelming, I think it was getting to the apex of the whole production as well, and you could tell the band was sort of having fun and Beyonce was having fun, and they were all sort of breathing a sigh of relief. And I think it sort of, not that there was pressure on it because the performance was flawless, but I think it was just that sort of good feeling, fun time part of the concert, and it just really lifted the spirits. Yeah, I just really liked that. I thought that was really cool.
So you're going. I'll let you have four tracks then. No, 3 tracks. That would be Lose My Breath, Say My Name, and Soldier.
Absolutely.
Those ones. Okay, cool. I'm going to say in Beyonce for this one line. All right, this might be my favorite Beyonce line. I sneezed on the beat and the beat got sicker.
I love that line. It's so good. I just write another one. On the beat, and the beat got sicker. Young say all on his mouth like liquor. 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 Like liquor. I think that for me, if I'm gonna have to pick one, I'm just gonna call Beyonce. I think that's great.
It gets a bit down and dirty. I really like it. The track I could skip. It's probably a bit unfair and probably a bit of a cheat. I'm going to say the Bugaboo Roll Call. It's an interlude. It's not really a song. Do I get away with that?
It's annoying to listen to.
It can be.
Yeah, I'd absolutely go.
It works better visually.
Yeah, from a sonic perspective, you could have not had it on the album and it would have been okay.
Yeah. Okay, something you don't like, or are you going to go with the Bugaboo Boys?
Yeah, no, that bugged me. Like, just listening to it, it didn't bug me. I didn't think boo. But, you know, it was just to listen to it, it was kind of like, okay, what's going on? Obviously something visual and, you know, just sort of deterred from it a bit. But, you know, that's what you get with a live concert experience. You know, you get everything that happens to it and happens during the performance and, you know, that was just a part of it.
Cool. All right. It comes to the crunch time of the podcast. Tim,
yep.
Will this album be staying on your phone/device for future listening?
I reckon it will. I reckon it absolutely will because, you know, I'm definitely, I wouldn't class myself as a Beyonce fanboy.
Beyonce fan.
By any stretch of imagination. I have utmost respect for her and having Beyonce fanboy.
You're a Beyonce fanboy.
Maybe I should do that again. Such
okay,
a fan.
Go.
I wouldn't call myself a Beyonce fanboy. But
I'd call you a Beyonce fanboy. Beyonce fanboy. Sorry, go again. I was Benedict.
I must admit, having not listened to a lot of Destiny Child like you have and a lot of Beyonce, having gotten to the end of this one, I've definitely got so much respect for the woman and the artist. And this production was amazing. This capture was amazing. The concert was amazing. And if you haven't listened to it or at least watched it, you really should.
Yeah, really hard to separate this out from the video. That's the bottom line. It's really hard to separate it, but that's only because the performance itself is so incredible. And
but I think that's also a great thing as well, is because you can listen to it, watch the video, listen to it again, and remember the parts from the video. You've got this visual imagery in your head and a bit more of an appreciation of what's going on with the concert itself. So it's really the best of both worlds. You know, you're very spoilt for content.
Oh,
this whole package.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I will delete it from my phone, but it's only because it'll be on my wife's phone. and I don't need it on my phone. It's going to go on quite a bit when we have the opportunity to have some music, you know, up full bore and want to feel it. That's when this is coming on. When, yeah, like you say, when you want to sort of just join back in with the celebration, you can at any point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I honestly didn't think it would be this much of a winner.
No, with the original concept of it, A, like being a Beyonce record, which I don't normally listen to, and B, just being a live concert, I was concerned it wouldn't have that album feel, you know, that you wouldn't get that sense of an appreciation of the ebbing and the flow, but it did so and above and beyond my expectations. It was an album. It truly is a piece of work from start to finish. The songs are chosen strategically and specifically, and they take you through that range of emotions, which is amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yep.
It's meticulous. You can't fault it.
Yeah, and I think if you didn't have, let's say the video never existed, there was an amazing concert that everybody spoke about, and there was a live recording that was that good, you would be poring over articles to find out what bits and pieces were. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it does stand alone by itself.
Totally.
Yeah, you don't have to have seen it, but why wouldn't you just experience as much of it as you can, because it really is an experience.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, with that, I think we will end this show. Thanks to everybody who has been listening so far. It's a little podcast we like to do. We haven't sort of told anyone about it. If you're listening to this, you are a special, special individual, and we appreciate your custom. Reach out and let us know at albumspod@gmail.com what your favorite albums are or any suggestions for the show. Hey, look, at the moment we're doing the MVP show, Minimal Viable Product. We're figuring this out as we go along. If you've stuck with us till now, we really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Cheers, Tim.
Cheers, Tom.
I'll see you at the next album.
Will do.